This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In case we haven't met, I'm Dino Colombo. I represent people hurt by a truck. It's what we do every day. Justice isn't just a word. It's your right. We'll stand up for you when others can't. Hurt by a truck? Call Colombo Law.
Welcome back on a Friar Friday. Final hour of the program, Padres and the Atlanta Braves, 4:20 San Diego time, 3:20 EcoWater SoCal pregame show later today, and it is time for our Manager's Report, and it is brought to you each week, of course, on the Manager's Report by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking, it's better, and joining us from Atlanta, GA, the skipper of the Padres, Mike Shildt. Mike, good morning to you. How was the trip?
Good morning, guys. Trip was smooth. Got left after the game on Wednesday and had a day off in Atlanta yesterday and ready to go today.
So I wanted to ask you, because I don't know how this works, and one of the things I love about this segment is I learn something new each week. So when you guys go on a long road trip, you get on a flight, whether or not your team is coming off a good series or a tough one like the one against the Rockies, do you like touch base with the guys on the plane and see what's going on, or do you just kind of leave them alone for the off days and let them do their thing? How does that work on a big league road trip?
Look, we spend a lot of time together, and you know, we're on together on the flight, and you know, there's pleasantries exchanged, but it's really a time just to kind of decompress and just, you know, let people read or watch movies or sleep or whatever they do, you know. So I don't get in a lot of their business, and I usually talk with the staff and we get ready for the next series and kind of enjoy ourselves a little bit. But the day off, man. You know, you're with everybody. Now people do, you know, go play golf or, you know, hang out together, grab dinners, but there's nothing, you know, formally taking place on a day off.
You know, one of the other things, Skip, we had asked Jesse Agler about, because he's, you know, he flies with the team and stuff. And I said, man, is it, you know, going to be a morose scene after you drop three straight to the Rockies? And he goes, man, really never. You'd never know if they won or lost on a plane ride after a big series or a bad series. Is that been your experience as well?
Yeah, I mean, you want the happy flight, clearly. You know, there's some, you know, you feel good, you win a series, you come up a win, you know, you lose, there's a little bit. But, you know, the season's too long to create so many highs and lows that, you know, it just that'll wear you out. So, you know, you move on, man. That's the one thing about the game, is the resiliency that is needed for this. And, you know, baseball guys and guys have been doing this for a while are, you know, learn to be pretty darn resilient. You have to be.
I feel like a couple of times when we've had you on this season, we've asked you about slumping players, and oftentimes they'll go out and get a couple of hits the next couple of days. You know, obviously Manny's been in a slump lately, and I'm not going to ask you anything specific about that, but I'm curious as a manager, and I look back at when you were with the Cardinals, and obviously you deal with slumping players all the time. Like Matt Carpenter had a huge 2018, and 2019 when you were the manager, dropped off. What can you do in terms of, you know, psychologically, anything for a player like that that's used to having success and all of a sudden is not having it for whatever period of time? What can you do as a manager?
You know, I think it's probably different cases. You know, you're talking about specifically two players that, you know, have been in the league a long time and have had, you know, a lot of successes. And, you know, you clearly just want to be supportive. You know, there's a human factor to this that people may or may not realize how real that is. I look at it tremendously, you know, as far as just the fact that, you know, these people are going through life, you know, they're going through a lot of different things, and just making sure that they feel supported and valued and all the different things. And then you just talk to them about, you know, hey, what, and I don't get, you know, listen, the hitting stuff is, we got, you know, really good hitting coaches that deal with that. And the player himself, that's in Manny's case and in Carp's case, you know, they understand what they need to do it well. And so you just remind them of what that looks like and, you know, lend some support and just be there for them, quite honestly.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schultz here on Ben and Woods this morning. I like what you said the other day, towards the end of your press conference. I think you said it to Kevin Acey. You said, I live in a different place. And I wondered, and I really liked that when you said that, because that is true. You have a unique perspective that nobody else has, right? Because you're in there with the guys every single day. I did want to ask, when you talk about that different place, I know you're always back in the team. I know you're positive about the team. Is there a time for you that you can look at it and go, all right, I might have to, I don't know, pound my fist on the table? Is that the Mike Schilt way at all? Or is it going, are you always just going to back your team regardless? Because we watched the series as well, and I know what didn't go the way you guys wanted it to. And, you know, I personally thought, yeah, man, Padres got outplayed after playing really, really well against the Dodgers, and you had a different opinion. So when you say I live in a different place, could you let us in there a little bit?
I think everybody has their own lens, which is a wonderful thing about the game. You know, Whitey Herzog, we have conversations about that and about criticism. And, you know, he said, you just talk about, you know, people, it's great because people have an understanding about the game, whether through their own experiences or, you know, playing or just going to games. And you know, that's the fun, magical part about the game of baseball. I'm not going to try to even come close to sharing, you know, or thinking about other people's experience or their view. I just have mine, and mine's not like this rose-colored glasses, blind, like kumbaya, and it's all great. it's not. But I have, you know, 30-something years of experience winning a lot of baseball games at pretty much every level, and I can discern between getting beat and beating yourselves. And, you know, the outplayed part, you know, it's just, you know, it's a thin margin game.
Yeah.
And it's not like, regardless of whether it's, you know, a team that you feel like is, you know, clearly one of the better teams in the league or a team that is not one of the better teams currently in the league. But I look at that series and I look at the games, and there were some interesting things that took place that don't typically happen, and I'm not going to overreact to. You know, if you earn 11 walks and you walk and give away one walk, and then you out hit a team, you tip and you don't beat yourself defensively, you typically win by a high percentage of those times. But sometimes you don't, and that's the thing that makes this game so stinking hard and frustrating sometimes. I'm a big, like, if we don't give anything away, we have the best chance to win. And if we don't give a lot away and we lose, I'm not going to start, you know, ripping the clubhouse apart. The frustrating game for me was probably the last game, because we really didn't get ourselves in a position offensively to compete. But we were, you know, and that was a frustrating thing. Now I can look up and say, okay, did the other side have anything to do with that? Well, I had Austin Gomber in St. Louis. He won his five games in August in 19, you know, to help us, you know, win our division and go to the National League Championship Series. And so I've got history with him. He threw the ball as good as I've seen him throw. I mean, he threw the ball great. He hit his fastball right where he wanted to throw it. He had his changeup going. He had his curveball going. And he had three solid pitches that he was throwing for quality strikes. That's tough. I hate to tell you. You know, I wish it were different. And we weren't able to scratch. That was discouraging. But that's the lens I look at. Now, if we start throwing the ball over the field, we're missing cutoff men, you know, we're not on point with our base running. And, you know, Kevin made a point in the press conference, which I do get. You know, Profar got thrown out of second base trying to be aggressive and stretch a double. And, Was it, you know, the most timely play? No. Did we do 10 things in that series on a base running standpoint that were completely on point that put us in position to win games? We did. Do I feel really good about that? I do. I feel really good about that. That's the lens I look at. And so hopefully I'm making sense.
Yeah, it does.
And so I look at it from a how we play in the game to allow us to win games in my experiences. Now, we're not doing those things, and we're walking a lot of people, and we're making poor decisions, and we're not hitting balls hard. And also the whole series, I mean, if you look at it, you look at just the hits and you separate them in video, and I've looked at them, they didn't exactly, they just found holes.
Bleeders,
I can't explain that.
I know.
And we hit lasers right at people, and I don't know what to tell you. I got to tell you, I'm going to have a harder time in this clubhouse if I go around when we do things right, worried about the end result. But I get it. It's a result-driven business. People are, can rightfully get frustrated. I just don't live in that space based on what I just described.
I kind of get it now. We're talking to Mike Schilt, the manager of the Padres, and you're making a lot of sense, Mike, but we're baseball fans, and we don't think rationally all the time about such a thing. And as Padres fans, you've complimented the Padres fans, how passionate, fill in the ballpark, and I know you're sincere about that. We've talked about that both off the air and on the air. But I think the fan base just looks, and last season had a lot of the same things as well. Padres did a lot of things right last year. They outscored their opposition, and for some reason it didn't work out. So when you see a series like this, when the same things happen, when you're absolutely right, you hit line drives right at the opponents, you walk, you put yourself in position, the big hit doesn't happen, that's baseball. We as fans, I think, just go to that immediate panic place. Like, here we go again. We saw this last year, and now they're gonna fall below 500, and they're gonna have trouble getting back all year, and they're gonna lose these one run games. It doesn't always work like that. I think we're just a little kind of scarred from how last season turned out, and that's not fair to you. I totally get that, but I think that's the place that we're coming from as fans, the questions from the media, which is reflecting the fans. We're all scared that it's going to happen again next year. You kind of understand that?
I get that completely.
Yeah.
I understand it completely. I get it. I was here in a more of a support role last year, and I saw it. And I understand it to a point. I just don't think it's fair to lump this group into the last year's group. And again, I got some serious bias here, so I try to be objective, but I start with this, with that caveat. But first of all, there are some of the key members of this club that are back, as you know, but there's been a ton of turnover on this team, a ton, and including myself, obviously, and staff and. There's a lot of moving parts to get into where we've got it to now, and that series was super frustrating because we put ourselves in a position to feel like we could kind of take off a little bit, and we feel that same frustration our fan base does. But relative to like one run games, we're already have played better in close games. We've come back way better. This team has. I don't want to compare to last year's team. All I can say is this year's team it plays fundamental baseball, not perfect baseball. That we're not going to play perfect baseball. I hate to tell you. And this is the frustrating part for me is are we ever, when are we going to, and maybe it's happening. I don't know. I don't live in the world, but, in that space outside of our clubhouse a whole lot, but I got to tell you, I do have to answer the questions, and that's part of it too. And it's part of the gig. I'll always own up to what we're doing. But if it's like, oh, he didn't do that right in the third inning, or you go on a 6-game road trip and go 4-2, and you're like, hey, remember when that happened? That one thing happened. Yeah, I do remember when that one thing happened that wasn't exactly perfect. This game is stinking hard. But I live in a world, back to my little world here, where I'm going to appreciate the things that do go well. and some of the things that are going well and some of the resilience that this club has as a starting point and the fight that this team has. So that's a big deal for me, and I think that's going in the right direction. I know if that wasn't happening, then that would be a different conversation. Then you would, you know, you wouldn't know about it, but then there would be a firmer version of me to say, hey, this isn't good enough. But when the effort's taking place, when the, the attention to detail's taking place, when the aggression properly is taking place with the club, man, I don't know what more I need to get out of this group. And it's only going to, it's only going to get better as we continue to learn each other and understand what, the next steps are for us to improve. And I feel like I have a pretty good pulse on that.
Excellent. That's Mike Schilt joins us here on Ben and Woods this morning. I wanted to ask you, you were quoted in an article in ESPN with Jesse Rogers, who's one of our favorite baseball writers. We have him on all the time. And it was in regards to load management. Now, we've had the conversation with you, Mike, about, it's always nice to get some new options, right? And you got Donovan Solano, who's really hitting the ball well. You got Luis Arraez, who, as we all know, hits the ball extremely well. So, it's like they say, mo money, mo problems. You have to find a way to get everybody in. And I was really interested in this article talking about how you guys are tracking basically everybody's movements all the time to see how fresh they are. How hard is that for you? Because you're going to have guys that say, do not take me out of the lineup. Period. Like, I need to be in. I want to play 158, 162 games. Has this been a learning experience for you, tracking all these movements, these motions, their effort on a day-to-day basis, and then tailoring your lineups around it?
It's another tool to reinforce what you should have a pretty good feel for.
Sure.
And, as far as being new, not necessarily. I mean, it's more supportive. This is a great topic, and Jesse does a good job, and I enjoy talking to him about this. It's something that is becoming more mainstream, but it's nothing that it's like earth-shattering
right.
Relative to, my experience. I mean, it has changed a little bit relative, not necessarily with our team, our group, because these guys really like to play and love to play. But, we talked about, starters going deep in games, how that's changed over the years. If you look back, I mean, I grew up shining, Cal shoes in 1980, he played every single game in Double A in 1980, including the Southern League Championship through that series that the club won. And, he came out every day for early work in Charlotte, North Carolina, that was a little bit humid in the summer. And it was, 100 degrees and humidity, and he worked every day. Early work, BP, the whole shooting match, and didn't come out one game. And then the same thing in AAA the next year, and then went on his streak and turned out pretty good.
Yeah, very good.
And won in the big league level, won a World Series at the big league level. And so, I come from that place where guys play and guys show up and what that means to them. But also now, as you go through it, we have way more, which is great. We have performance coaches, and we have the data that you alluded to, and we have the recovery strategies that now are good. So now it's about, really being smart and with our schedule and the early work and the BP and, when we show up and all those things that allow players to use their energy in the right way when the game starts. And so that's what I pay attention to the most. And then it's an individual conversation with players. When you want a day off, I've had players, I won't get into the names, but I've had players that say, hey, you want the wraparound day off, a day off. And then like yesterday, we had obviously a day off schedule. Do you want the day before or the day after? Oh no, I don't want that. I can't go 2 days in a row without playing. Oh, okay, that's cool. I definitely want that. Another player. Yeah, that sounds great. Another player up recently had a conversation. I never want to know. Like, hey, let's plan this out. Nope, don't tell me, just do it. Okay, that's fine. Then I've had a couple players that a really good player is like, hey man, if I don't see this particular guy real well, you know, but I'm not ducking him. Maybe that's, I know you're not ducking. It gives us the best opportunity to compete. If 100%. You don't see this guy well and it works out, then that'll be a day for you. So, but the last thing of this is there's something to be said for guys being on the field and playing, and that says something to their teammates. You know, there's something to be said for that as well, that, you know what, I need to go grind and play and be on the field and be able to contribute and be counted on. So, anyway, long answer to your question, there's a lot of factors into it. You know, our player health and making sure they're healthy is really one of my number one jobs. Now they get hit in the ribs with a pitch or turn an ankle or, you know, any of those things, that's out of the hands. But, you know, being able to partner with them and our medical staff and our coaching staff to make sure that we're doing the right reps to get them ready to play, but keep them healthy so they can stay in the lineup.
It's a good answer. I just want to have one follow-up just quickly, because I had many people ask me this, and I didn't know the answer. I tried to put on my manager's hat, so I want to give you the chance. They kept asking me, why did Mike Schilt have Luis Arraez on the bench twice against lefties already? He hits lefties pretty good, and I went, well, he's got to think about the defense at first. Jake's been playing well there, and he wants to get Donovan Solano into the lineup because he's hitting lefties great. And you don't want to sit one of your great mashers against lefties against a lefty that can get him going. But I didn't really know the answer, so I wanted to give you a chance to talk to those people that were asking that question.
Yeah, I mean, I think that you pretty much did a nice job.
Okay, good. Look at that. Good. Look at that. My manager's hat was on.
Wow.
We could look at you go. I mean, the fact of the matter is, you know, you get Donovan, who's really good against lefties, and you know, you look at the lineup and you go, all right, Bogey hits lefties and has some history with some of these guys. And Manny's in there, DH-ing. Somebody's got to sit. I mean, you know, and it's just, you know, that, Crony did it a while back. Luis has done it a couple times. Tonight we're facing the lefty in Freed. You know, Luis is in there as his crony, and we're going to sit Donovan because Manny's going to play third. So, you know, somebody – and look, Luis does handle lefties relative to lefties and other people and other factors. You know, other guys are handling lefties too, and Donovan went out and got, you know, a couple hits.
Yep.
And is rewarded, you know, having good at bats. So, you know, tonight he's sitting, it's like, man, love to have that guy in the lineup. The good news is you love to have all these guys in the lineup. So that's a positive thing.
All right, before we let you go, thanks so much for the time. It ran a little bit long. I really do appreciate it. But is Bingo, the Bingo Long Traveling All-Stars and Motor Kings, is that a movie I need to watch?
I thought we knew every baseball movie.
Never heard of this one. You referenced it. I had to look it up. Is that a movie I should watch this weekend? When I'm not watching the Padres, of course.
I don't know that I mean, at your leisure. I wouldn't rush over to check it out. You know, I realize how much I date myself when I see it sometimes.
Hey, Richard Pryor is great.
He's great. James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones. He's in another baseball
movie. James Earl
Jones.
Billy Dee Williams. Yeah. Richard Pryor. I mean, yeah. They're good clubs. You take two out of three against them.
All right. Thank you so much.
We were all asking the question. Appreciate it, Mike. Good luck tonight. Hopefully the weather holds up this weekend as well, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, appreciate it. Y'all take care.
You too.
Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres, with us and given his thoughts on everything. I thought some interesting stuff there. Let's take a quick timeout. Yeah. We'll come back. We will kind of piece that together, break it down a little bit, get your thoughts on it as well. Ben Woods, back after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Allo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Reacting to Mike Schilt's manager's report, and again, the manager's report brought to you each week by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. Thank you to them for getting the skipper on with us each and every week. I thought you asked a good question that, you know, is there a time when you got to, what did you say, put your fist down,
bang the table?
And Mike Schilt said, and this didn't surprise me, that he's not the kind of guy that's going to let bad play just go on. If he thinks he sees bad play, sloppy baseball, a lot of mental mistakes, he's the kind of guy that's going to address that.
He is relentlessly positive.
Yes.
He is relentlessly positive. And by the way, somebody made this point on the roundtable yesterday. It might have been you. Based on what's happened here the last couple of years, the clubhouse, whatever, I mean, is that really the wrong approach? Is it the wrong approach? Yeah, to be as positive and attentive, I guess, as you can be after what's happened the last couple of years.
I mean, we still don't know the answer to what went wrong with last season.
Correct.
We don't have a definitive answer, even in hindsight. Even Kierkegaard living backwards. We still don't know. Was it because they let things go on too long, or was it because they put too much pressure on themselves to turn things around?
I've heard lack of leadership. I've heard too much leadership. I've heard too many meetings, not enough meetings. Bob Melvin cared too much. He didn't care enough. I've heard Juan Soto was bad. I've heard Juan Soto was good. I heard Manny and Soto didn't get along. I heard Soto and Manny did get along. I've heard every single theory in the book. But if you're Mike Schilt and you're taking over the job, all you know is that it went south, and you have to do everything you can to not let it go south.
I'm glad he said, all right, the last game of that series was frustrating.
Correct.
You know, whatever he said in his press conference that got people kind of up in arms on Wednesday.
Me for sure.
You for sure. And I totally agreed with him the first 2 days. I said the same things on the show. It was pretty unlucky the way you're ripping the ball around. You get walks. You hit line drives. It's not working. The Rockies hit some bleeders that fall holes. That happens in baseball. The last game, though, was legitimately sucky and frustrating. And he finally did say, I don't know if he was in a place where he wanted to say it on Wednesday. But to us, he said, yes, all right, Wednesday, that was frustrating. That was not what we're looking for. It's not what we want to see. And I'm glad. I'm glad he said that. I think it was important that he kind of faced the reality of that Wednesday was just awful. It was just awful. It wasn't Jurickson's fault because he tried to play aggressively. And he likes guys that are trying to play aggressive baseball. And they will make mistakes sometimes. I get that. But it was just a bad game. It was a bad game for the Padres. So he got that. All right, we're going to, take another quick timeout. When you talk to the manager for 20 plus minutes.
We have clock integrity.
We got to catch up on our last break. But after that, that's it. We're going all the way to the end of the program with more thoughts on Mike Schilt and wrap things up for a Friday and get you ready for the weekend. Coming up next year with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, this hour on Ben and Woods brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Big weekend plans?
No. No big weekend plans.
Padres baseball.
Padres baseball are my weekend plans. My immediate plan involve going to our phone line because it's an immediate stop down anytime I see Ryan Cohen on the line.
Oh, our beloved Ryan Cohen.
So even before traffic, we're going to get to Ryan here on 97.3 The Fan. Ryan, it is always a pleasure to take your phone call from whatever part of the country you are in right now.
Well, I'm honored to beat traffic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Kelly said there wasn't much traffic this morning anyway, so don't worry about it.
Okay, perfect. I'm in Atlanta. I just landed in the Atlanta airport. I'm going to the series this weekend, my first Padres game of the year. I'm super excited.
Hartsfield-Jackson International, one of the busiest airports in the world.
It's a nightmare, that airport. A nightmare.
You know, I just had a good, little late breakfast, early lunch. I'm happy. I get to get some work done before my buddy picks me up, checking the Airbnb. So I'm good.
You're good. off to see the Pods Braves. And again, you know, we've talked a lot about it. They've played much better against better teams. It makes no sense to me. It never will. You know, the getting up for the good teams like the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Brewers and, you know, just getting bodied by the Colorado Rockies. I'm interested really to see if the Rockies can continue their streak of staying hot.
I mean, I don't mean to get like preachy or anything because you guys have taught me a ton, but my life advice is I no longer care about the last three games. They're gone. They're out the window and they never happened in my book. We're on to Atlanta. Let's go. Atlanta. We're here. I do not care about the last three games. They're done.
Now, the next four are also very concerning because, well, the Atlanta Braves are a really good team.
Yep.
And you could be red hot going into this series and still have legitimate concerns about having to go up against guys like Max Fried today, Chris Sale on Monday, and the entire, who else are they facing in the series? We got it here. Bryce Elder tomorrow and Reynaldo Lopez on Sunday. All right. Well, I mean, do what you did with the Dodgers. Beat Tyler Glasnow. Beat Max Fried tonight. You're setting yourself up for a good weekend, aren't you, Ryan?
I mean, I win tonight, and I'm just going to be on cloud nine. You know, I don't necessarily have the highest expectations for tonight's game. I think tonight's going to be more of a try and see the ballpark, enjoy being at a baseball game, and then tomorrow is going to be the one where I really want the Padres to win. Obviously, I want them to win tonight, but...
Going all four?
You know, don't want to go in with too high of expectations. Now I got to get back to New York on Sunday. So only tonight and tomorrow.
How's the Big Apple treating you, by the way? Can swallow a kid whole, I've heard.
Yeah. It's been great, man. I love my job. I love the friends I have. I definitely miss California, no doubt, especially San Diego. But I couldn't be happier with the way things have gone in my first, you know, 7-8 months here. It's been great.
Well, I'm hoping we get at least one or two cutaway shots during the broadcast tonight of Ryan Cohen at the game. So make your presence felt, and we will talk to you again soon, man.
I can't promise what the cameras are going to do, but I can promise I'll be loud, I'll be yelling, I'll be dancing, I'll be having fun. So great to hear you guys' voice. Much love, always.
Love you, buddy. Be well.
He's repping the Padres in Atlanta tonight at Truist Park out in the suburbs of Atlanta for the Padres and Braves. We had someone go, isn't there a dome on that thing?
No, if there's rain,
there's problems because they do not have a dome on the stadium in Atlanta. It is an open-air ballpark, and thus subject to the whims of Mother Nature.
Keep vamping, because I'm going to pull up the weather app.
I'm gonna vamp right into a check of traffic here with Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan. Wasn't that easy? All right, let's go to meteorologist Stephen Woods. He's in our AccuWeather Forecast 7000 Center for 97.3 The Fan.
I'm actually in the chopper today, Ben. It looks like crap.
Well, you called for a 3-hour rain delay earlier this morning.
I may get it.
Because you've got a school event to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumping rain there. From 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Small break at 8:33.
That'd be about an hour and a half delay because so the game starts at 7:20 local time.
And then it dumps, starts back up again around 9 p.m. So you can get 27 minutes of the game in, depending on what the field looks like.
Well, so here's the strategy. If you get the game started, then Waldron should go nothing knuckleballs to save his arm, while Max Fried, they can't bring him back in after the long rain delay. You get into that Braves bullpen, and you just come back with Waldron with more knuckleballs out of the rain delay at the other side going, yeah, I can do this all night,
yeah,
guys.
I got this. Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, you'd love a 2-inning game and then they bang it for rain for a while and Max Fried's not coming back out. And yeah, steal one, potentially. But no, it's a huge series. They're all huge series right now. Trying to dig out of that little mini hole that they created over the, this week and dropping it to the Rockies.
And by the way, it is a mini hole.
It's a mini hole.
I mean, last year, there were many times that I would have been thrilled if the Padres could have gotten within two games of 500.
Yeah, with a mini hole.
With just a mini hole. They were in a maxi hole too often.
All right.
Last season. Now, you just want to avoid getting into that kind of hole this year.
Stop talking about holes.
Stay out of the big hole. And keep it in a small hole.
Always preferred.
The smaller holes.
Correct.
As opposed to the really big, giant holes. The gaping holes. You don't want to get in those holes. I'm speaking of record in relation to 500. Nothing else. But you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Quick update.
Oh, is this a golf update?
Yeah.
Right. I need to be somewhere at 10:40. Can I just go now?
Not on the tournament. On Scottie Scheffler's lawyer has already come out with a statement. Since we started the show with the news about Scottie Scheffler getting arrested, thrown in jail, bailed out, and getting to his tee time, and we gave you Scottie Scheffler's statement about the incident at the PGA Championship this morning, his lawyer has come out with a statement now saying, and this is now the official story, that Scottie was following the instructions of another police officer when a separate officer then gave him conflicting instructions, which made it, of course, impossible for Scottie to follow all the instructions of the police officer. And the one that arrested him, obviously, was the one that he felt like he wasn't. He was directed, go this way, drive this way. And another officer was saying, Snow, go this way and do that. And he was put in an impossible situation.
He was driving the car.
He was actually, they drive their own courtesy cars usually. Yeah.
Hmm.
Some courses do have, like, you know, drivers picking them up. But for the most part, they're given those free, cool courtesy cars to drive around for a few days. And then they turn it in at the end. But they drive themselves to and from the tournament, oftentimes with their caddy, will be with them in the car. I didn't see a caddy with them. Maybe the caddy was already there, got there earlier to set things up or
how's he doing?
Something. Let's see. The latest update, he was 1-under through 3 the last time I checked. At this current stage, Scottie Scheffler is still 1-under through 8.
So okay.
Birdied the first hole, has played even par since then. Xander Schauffele has not started yet, so he's still 4 strokes behind Xander Schauffele, whose lead is down to 1 over Mark Hubbard, who is 2-under today, 8-under for the tournament. Bunch of guys at 7-under, including Colin Morikawa, Alex Noren, and Austin Eckroat right now.
I'm just looking at the preview for the series. Darvish will go tomorrow. Bryce Elder, Joe Musgrove is it's TBA right now, but there's a giant picture of Joe Musgrove in the UT. So I think that's what they're... Damn it, I forgot to ask Schilt about Joe, if he's going to start.
I would imagine that he's not going to say anything at least tomorrow after the game. No reason to paint yourself into a corner until you know for sure. I think Joe might even throw today. Usually 2 days before, he'll have his last session today, so they won't make a decision until after that. It goes well, and then he wakes up Saturday, he goes, no, I'm good to go for tomorrow. My guess is that's when the Mike Schilt makes that decision on Joe Musgrove.
And Ronaldo Lopez, he's the guy they traded.
He's been dirty.
Dude, he's the guy. Wasn't he a reliever they converted into a starter in Atlanta? Yeah, he's 2-1 with a 1.34 right now. His only history with the Padres is throwing a scoreless inning as a reliever with the White Sox in 22. And then game 4 is Dylan Cease, I believe, against Chris Sale. That's going to be a really good matchup.
But remember, the Padres have faced already this season some of the nastiest pitching in baseball.
They
track that, and that is true. Not going to ease up this weekend the foursome of starters that the Braves will be going with. All right, that is pretty much it for us. I think after a week like this, we need a little positivity in our lives. So
love you guys.
We are going to finish with Things Ben Likes for the last couple of minutes. Enjoy. I know I will.
I know you will.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
Literally things I enjoy.
Marching band. I like a good thin
Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub. I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy. I like good, firm banana.
I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni.
I like nice hotels.
I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry.
I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver, not bad colors. I like the time change. I like Major League Baseball's new rule. I like the radio. I like geography. I like the knuckle method. I like Skippy. I mean, I like pie. I like Bob Melvin. I really do. I liked Jace Tingler, too. I like this day. I like being right. I still do like movie scores. I like good food. I like maps. Right. I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation. I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza. I like having the wind go through my hair. I think I like shows that the characters have an arc. I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well. I like those kind of burgers. I like the big overflowing bag of fries. I like those little Smarties rolls. I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo. I liked his competitive fire. I like walking around between the different lands. Steve Kerr, though, I like that. I like living on the coast. I like watching Tiger still. I like the idea of that matchup. I liked what I saw in the preseason. I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em. I like watching San Diego State basketball. I like those cashew-buttered cashews. I like cold, clear sake. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just a standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. Just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet. And you know what, Polly? I like things Ben likes because it means that we are officially usually at the end of the week, which we are. Woodsy's already out. He's got a busy rest of his Friday to get to. So enjoy the rest of your day, Woods. Polly, you enjoy your weekend.
I will.
We will remember Monday. We are on at 6 a.m., but we will be off at about 8:20. So make sure you join us early to wrap up the weekend of Padres baseball. And more. Annie and Elston are coming up next for Woodsy and Paul. I'm Ben. Have a great weekend from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Hi, this hour on Ben and Woods brought to you by Prize Picks. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Big weekend plans?
No. No big weekend plans.
Padres baseball.
Padres baseball are my weekend plans. My immediate plan involve going to our phone line because it's an immediate stop down anytime I see Ryan Cohen on the line.
Oh, our beloved Ryan Cohen.
So even before traffic, we're going to get to Ryan here on 97.3 The Fan. Ryan, it is always a pleasure to take your phone call from whatever part of the country you are in right now.
Well, I'm honored to beat traffic. Thanks for having me, guys.
Good
to
hear. Kelly said there wasn't much traffic this morning anyway, so don't worry about it.
Okay, perfect. I'm in Atlanta. I just landed in the Atlanta airport. I'm going to the series this weekend, my first Padres game of the year. I'm super excited.
Hartsfield-Jackson International, one of the busiest airports in the world.
It's a nightmare, that airport. A nightmare.
You know, I just had a good, like, little late breakfast, early lunch. I'm happy. I get to get some work done before my buddy picks me up, checking the Airbnb. So I'm good.
Good. Off to see the Pods Braves. And again, you know, we've talked a lot about it. They've played much better against better teams. It makes no sense to me. It never will. You know, the getting up for the good teams like the Dodgers and the Cubs and the Brewers and, you know, just getting bodied by the Colorado Rockies. I'm interested really to see if the Rockies can continue their streak of staying hot.
I mean, I don't mean to get like preachy or anything because you guys have taught me a ton, but my life advice is I no longer care about the last three games. They're gone. They're out the window, and they never happened in my book. We're on to Atlanta. Let's go. We're here. I do not care about the last three games. They're done.
Now, the next four are also very concerning because, well, the Atlanta Braves are a really good team.
Yep.
And you could be red hot going into this series and still have legitimate concerns about having to go up against guys like Max Fried today, Chris Sale on Monday, and the entire – who else are they facing in the series? We got it here. Bryce Elder tomorrow and Reynaldo Lopez on Sunday. All right, well – I mean, do what you did with the Dodgers. Tyler Glasnow. Beat Max Fried tonight. You're
awesome.
Setting yourself up for a good weekend, aren't you? Aren't you, Ryan?
I mean, I win tonight, and I'm just going to be on cloud nine. You know, I don't necessarily have the highest expectations for tonight's game. I think tonight's going to be more of a try and see the ballpark, enjoy being at a baseball game, and then tomorrow is going to be the one where I really want the Padres to win. Obviously, I want them to win tonight, but.
Going all four?
Yeah, don't want to go in with too high of expectations. No, I got to get back to New York on Sunday. So only tonight and tomorrow.
How's the Big Apple treating you, by the way? Can swallow a kid whole, I've heard.
Yeah. It's been great, man. I love my job. I love the friends I have. I definitely miss California, no doubt, especially San Diego. But I couldn't be happier with the way things have gone in my first, you know, 7-8 months here. It's been great.
Well, I'm hoping we get at least a one or two cutaway shots during the broadcast tonight of Ryan Cohen at the game. So make your presence felt, and we will talk to you again soon, man.
I can't promise what the cameras are going to do, but I can promise I'll be loud, I'll be yelling, I'll be dancing, I'll be having fun. So great to hear you guys' voice. Much love, always.
Love you, buddy. Be well.
Right. He's repping the Padres in Atlanta tonight at Truist Park out in the suburbs of Atlanta for the Padres and Braves. We had someone go... Isn't there a dome on that thing?
No.
If there's rain, there's problems because they do not have a dome on the stadium in Atlanta. It is an open-air ballpark, and thus subject to the whims of Mother Nature.
Keep vamping, because I'm going to pull up the weather app.
I'm gonna vamp right into a check of traffic here with Kelly Danick on 97.3 The Fan. Wasn't that easy? All right, let's go to meteorologist Stephen Woods. He's in our AccuWeather Forecast 7000 Center for 97.3 The Fan.
I'm actually in the chopper today, Ben. It looks like crap.
Well, you called for a 3-hour rain delay earlier this morning.
I may get it.
Just because you've got a school event to go to.
Yeah, I mean, it's dumping rain there. From 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Small break at 8:33.
Right, that'd be about an hour and a half delay because so the game starts at 7:20 local time.
And then it dumps, starts back up again around 9 p.m. So you can get 27 minutes of the game in, depending on what the field looks like.
Well, so here's the strategy. If you get the game started, then Waldron should go nothing knuckleballs to save his arm, while Max Fried, they can't bring him back in after the long rain delay. You get into that Braves bullpen, and you just come back with Waldron with more knuckleballs out of the rain delay at the other side going, yeah, I can do this all night,
yeah,
guys.
I got this. Yeah, that's interesting. And yeah, you'd love a 2-inning game and then they bang it for rain for a while and Max Fried's not coming back out. And yeah, steal one potentially. But no, it's a huge series. They're all huge series right now. Trying to dig out of that little mini hole that they created over the this week and dropping it to the Rockies.
And by the way, it is a mini hole.
It's a mini hole.
I mean, last year there were many times that I would have been thrilled if the Padres could have gotten within two games of 500.
Yeah, with a mini hole.
With just a mini hole. They were in a maxi hole too often.
All right.
to last season. Now, you just want to avoid getting into that kind of hole this year.
Stop talking about holes.
Stay out of the big hole and keep it in a small hole.
Always preferred.
The smaller holes.
Correct.
As opposed to the really big, giant holes. The gaping holes. You don't want to get in those holes. I'm speaking of record in relation to 500, nothing else. But you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Quick update.
Oh, is this a golf update?
Yeah.
Right. I need to be somewhere at 10:40. Can I just go now?
Not on the tournament. On Scottie Scheffler's lawyer has already come out with a statement. Since we started the show with the news about Scottie Scheffler getting arrested, thrown in jail, bailed out, and getting to his tee time. And we gave you Scottie Scheffler's statement about the incident at the PGA Championship this morning. His lawyer has come out with a statement now saying, and this is now the official story, that Scottie was following the instructions of another police officer when a separate officer then gave him conflicting instructions, which made it, of course, impossible for Scottie to follow all the instructions of the police officer. And the one that arrested him, obviously, was the one that he felt like he wasn't. He was directed, go this way, drive this way. And another officer was saying, Snow, go this way and do that. And he was put in an impossible situation.
Actually driving the car.
He was actually, they drive their own courtesy cars usually. Yeah.
Hmm.
Some courses do have, like, you know, drivers picking them up. But for the most part, they're given those free, cool courtesy cars to drive around for a few days. And then they turn it in at the end, but they drive themselves to and from the tournament, oftentimes with their caddy, will be with them in the car. I didn't see a caddy with them. Maybe the caddy was already there, got there earlier to set things up or
how's he doing?
Something. Let's see. The latest update, he was 1-under through 3 the last time I checked. At this current stage, Scottie Scheffler is still 1-under through 8.
So okay.
Birdied the first hole, has played even par since then. Xander Schauffele has not started yet, so he's still 4 strokes behind Xander Schauffele, whose lead is down to 1 over Mark Hubbard, who is 2-under today, 8-under for the tournament. Bunch of guys at 7-under, including Colin Morikawa, Alex Noren, and Austin Eckroat right now.
I'm just looking at the preview for the series. Darvish will go tomorrow. Bryce Elder, Joe Musgrove is it's TBA right now, but there's a giant picture of Joe Musgrove in the UT. So I think that's what they're... Damn it, I forgot to ask Schilt about Joe, if he's going to start.
I would imagine that he's not going to say anything at least tomorrow after the game. No reason to paint yourself into a corner until you know for sure. I think Joe might even throw today. Usually 2 days before, he'll have his last session today, so they won't make a decision until... After that, it goes well, and then he wakes up Saturday and goes, no, I'm good to go for tomorrow. My guess is that's when the Mike Schilt makes that decision on Joe Musgrove.
And Ronaldo Lopez, he's the guy they traded.
He's been dirty.
Dude, he's the guy. Wasn't he a reliever they converted into a starter in Atlanta? Yeah, he's 2-1 with a 1-3-4 right now. His only history with the Padres, says, is throwing a scoreless inning as a reliever with the White Sox in 22. And then game 4 is Dylan Cease, I believe, against Chris Sale. That's going to be a really good matchup.
But remember, the Padres have faced already this season some of the nastiest pitching in baseball. They track that, and that is true. Not going to ease up this weekend
against the
foursome of starters that the Braves will be going with. All right, that is pretty much it for us. I think after a week like this, we need a little positivity in our lives. So
love you guys.
We are going to finish with Things Ben Likes for the last couple of minutes. Enjoy. I know I will.
I know you will.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
Literally things I enjoy.
Marching band. I like a good thin
Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seats. I like a midnight buffet.
I kind of like the smell of soft scrub.
I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy. I like good, firm banana.
I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like
big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom.
I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni.
I like nice hotels.
I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry.
I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like Straight Up, Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver are not bad colors.
I like the time change.
I like Major League Baseball's new rule.
I like the radio.
I like geography.
I like the knuckle method.
I like Skippy.
I mean, I like pie.
I like Bob Melvin. I really do.
I liked Jace Tingler, too.
I like this day.
I like being right.
I still do like movie scores.
I like good food.
I like maps. Right.
I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation.
I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
I like having the wind go through my hair.
I think I like shows that the characters have an arc.
I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well.
I like those kind of burgers.
I like the big overflowing bag of fries.
I like those little Smarties rolls.
I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo.
I liked his competitive fire.
I like walking around between the different lands.
Steve Kerr, though, I like that.
I like living on the coast.
I like watching Tiger still.
I like the idea of that matchup.
I liked what I saw in the preseason.
I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em.
I like watching San Diego State basketball.
I like those cashew-buttered cashews.
I like cold, clear sake.
I like a lot of things.
I like Chick-fil-A sauce.
I just like rankings.
I like Steve Winwood.
I like Pie Gal Poker.
I like to be informed on subjects.
I like Chicago.
I like Tom Petty.
I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure.
I do like a good Matt Damon film.
I like being on the same page.
I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things.
I like this shirt.
I like Wipeout.
I liked my omelet.
I like San Diego State at home.
I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player.
I like vanilla.
I like the atmosphere.
I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there.
I like rhubarb pie.
I like the window seat.
Changing the subject. I like that.
I like just the standard yellow peep.
I like how San Diego State's playing right now.
I like finer things.
I like calling a game.
I like fiction more than nonfiction.
Just like the cream.
I actually like playing golf with other people.
I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill.
I like Mexican food.
I like just the solar system.
I do like steak.
I like specifics.
I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day.
I like that people are there having a good time.
I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating.
Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's.
I do like a good midnight buffet.
And you know what, Polly? I like things Ben likes because it means that we are officially usually at the end of the week, which we are.
We did it.
Woodsy's already out. He's got a busy rest of his Friday to get to. So enjoy the rest of your day, Woods. Polly, you enjoy your weekend.
I will.
We will remember Monday. We are on at 6 a.m., but we will be off at about 8:20. So make sure you join us early to wrap up the weekend of Padres baseball. And more. Annie and Elston are coming up next for Woodsy and Paul. I'm Ben. Have a great weekend from all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.